As you are so wonderful in every moment of our life. You're always making and creating, and Lord, you're creating us into disciples, and sometimes we don't even recognize or see how you're doing that, but you're always accomplishing something wonderful for us. So Lord, today we rejoice. We rejoice, even though it's chilly, we rejoice that we can be together, that we can, Lord, encourage one another, and that we can proclaim that we trust in you. Father, we come as your people and we praise you. We praise you for Linda Gosling, who is recovering well. And it seems, Lord, that there isn't much of a problem now. And so we continue to pray your healing upon her. Lord, we thank you that you have that you've cared for her through this time. And we rejoice that she's getting better. And same with Rose, Lord. We know she had pneumonia this past week. We lift her to you and pray, Lord, that you continue to give her strength and good health. And be with her family as well. And Lord, for Jan is also, we pray for her and George Ewart and Inga and Ken and Sam and Lori. Lord, we lift them to you. And you know each and every situation, and you, Lord, you know what healing needs to occur in each one of those lives, and so we lift them to you. Father, we think of Marilyn King, who is going to be undergoing heart surgery, and we pray for her. We pray for Quindle as well. And Lord, be very close. May they know that you're right there with them. Be with Marilyn and with her doctors, Lord, as they perform the surgery. And Father, may your will be done. May you be glorified through this. And Lord, for all these petitions we bring before you, the prayer requests, Lord, as a family, we pray that your will be done and that you be glorified through all of it. Lord, it's amazing how you bring new birth, and we praise you for the safe delivery of Seth Bearcloud, and Lord, we pray for his parents and for Don and Janice, the grandparents, that, Lord, you be very close to them and give them wisdom as they raise this child. Lord, we rejoice in that. And same with Jason LaDonna Salmond, who had a new child as well this past week. We praise you for that and pray that you continue to give them wisdom as parents. And be with Peter and Diane, the grandparents, in that situation as well. Lord, we know that you are with us when we need comfort, and so we pray for the Kent family on the passing of Rose and Brian's grandson and Rose's mother. And Lord, we pray for them that they would know your comfort and that they'd know your strength, and that, Father, that they'd know that through us as your people are lifting them, and may they be encouraged by that. Father, it's so good to come and worship you, and we take this so often for granted, and may we not do that. May we really be transparent enough and vulnerable enough, Lord, to allow you to continue to work and shape us in our life so that we would be more like you. And this, Lord, today is the beginning of a new year. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to shape us into the body of believers that you want us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All God's people said, right on. Thank you for great worship. Are you all staying warm out there? Okay, not warm enough, though, to fall asleep? You already fell asleep. Good. How many of you had an exciting new year? How many of you know it's a new year? Okay. Well, I was praying about this, I pray about what I'm to say and what direction we're to go, and I believe that we need to start this new year by just getting real practical about who we are in our relationship with God. And I can't think of any better way of doing that than focusing in and zeroing in on trusting God. And so these next few weeks we're gonna walk through trusting God, and we're gonna discuss stuff that some of you may be extremely familiar with, and yet for some of us, maybe it just requires a reminder, and some of you may say, wow, that's new. I've never heard that before. But so often I think we hear something, we kind of think, well, I already knew that. I already know that. But knowing isn't doing. You see, simply knowing something is not enough. We don't know anything until it's working in our lives. Amen? I want to say thank you to Mandy, our ministerial student, who looked after last Sunday, and I know from many of you that you came and told me she did just a great job, and she was led by the Lord, and you really felt it, and thank you to Mandy, where she's not even here, she's in the nursery, just serving. But it's great, and I need to assure you that my folks are doing better. My dad had kidney failure, and he's back at home now, and my mom, who's on oxygen 24 hours a day, said to me, I think we need to think about putting him in a home. And just thought that was kind of cute, you know. But, and that's on tape now. They're going to hear it when they download on the internet. Oh, they don't even have the internet, so I don't have to worry. But this morning, I thought, what a great, how appropriate it is to talk about trusting God as we journey into 2007. And this may be a morning where some of you, you know, I usually ask, can you hear me at the back? And some of you may shout out from the back, yeah, but I wouldn't mind changing seats with somebody who can't. You know, that's kind of how you'll probably feel this morning. I hope not. Because I want to talk to you about something very important that will change your life. Now I've got your attention, haven't I? I want to give you two secret facts to godly faith. See, the Apostle Paul said that he did not get tired of telling the people who loved God the same things over and over and over again. He actually said, I think that was his way of just preaching the same thing, but he actually said that he was doing it to stir them up again in an area that they knew about, but maybe were growing a little bit cold in, or were just letting slip just a little bit. One of the most important things in the Word of God, in the Bible, is trusting God. I mean, our whole relationship with God is based on trusting Him. The Bible says, in the same way we receive the Lord Jesus, even so it says, you should walk and regulate your life. So this morning we're going to look at secret facts to godly faith, two simple facts about our faith that you can just take with you today and live your life with. And I want us to just jump in as we look at, as a background for all this, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And I invite you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Just one verse. It says it all. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers. I want to add, and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Wow. Secret facts about godly faith. First of all, faith can grow. Faith can grow. Very simple. The Apostle Paul, listen, the Apostle Paul tells these Thessalonian believers, your faith is growing. I mean, can I tell you this morning that even as you sit in the service, your faith is growing. There's nothing that will help your faith more than hearing the preaching of the Word of God on faith. That's the truth. I mean, you hear something preached, you begin to grab hold of that, you study that, you think on those things, and I believe that over these next few weeks, as our faith is going to increase dramatically and radically as we walk together this journey, as we learn to trust God more. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody say, my faith is growing. My faith is growing. Now say it like you mean it and excited about it. My faith is growing. I'm glad for that. My faith is growing. Bottom line, my friends, is this. We need to live by faith, the Bible says. The just shall live by faith. Those that are doing what God wants them to do, those that are doing the right things are living by faith. They don't just have faith once in a while for some specific project that they decide to pick and choose and have faith for. They live by faith. Well, it's like this Baptist pastor. He's out and fishing. Two fellow colleagues. You know the story. Methodist minister, Lutheran layman. They were in a rowboat, middle of a pond, fishing. None of them caught anything all morning. Zero. Maybe a couple rubber tires. That was about it. Around 1 o'clock, they broke open their lunch boxes, decided to have a little bite, and they continued the waiting game for the fish. 1 o'clock, I think it's a little late, but Methodist minister, he realized the long stretch of the day that he just needed to stretch his legs, go for a stroll. So he said, guys, I got to go to the bathroom. And so he stood up, and he said, I'm just going to go to the shore and go to the washroom. So he stands up in the boat. He climbs out of the boat, and he walks on the water to the shore. Comes back 10 minutes later, same way he went, right on the water. These guys are amazed. And the Lutheran fellow, he decides, well, hey, he needs to head in that direction too. And so, you know, he climbs out of the boat, and he walks on the water right to shore. Comes back, same way, 10 minutes later, walks right back to the boat, right across the water. Well, this Baptist pastor thought, you know, I have way more faith than these guys. I know I do. I'm just as strong in my faith as they are and as his fishing buddies. And he figures, well, if they can walk on water, I can walk on water too. So he stands up, excuses himself, you know, as any gracious Baptist pastor always is. Excuse me. Steps out and splash, down in the water he goes. And the Methodist minister looks at the Lutheran layman and says, do you think we should have told him where the rocks were? Faith, live by faith. Romans 1:17 explains that we're supposed to live beginning and end of our life by faith. Faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. Faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. But most of us live by faith to faith, then doubt, then to unbelief, and then back to faith, and then doubt, and then some unbelief, and then faith, and then to fear, and then from fear to faith, and then back to fear again, and then back to faith, and then back to doubt, and then unbelief, and then from faith to double-mindedness, and then back to faith. And the result is we really don't end up living a very victorious, blessed life that Jesus died for us to have, because the only way we can have this is by living by faith. How many of you want a victorious, blessed life today? Yeah. You know, I think it sounds so incredible and we want it so desperately, but when it comes to the crunch, it's so hard for us to walk it. We spend so much time, of our time, we're regretting and dreading. We're regretting the past and we're dreading the future. And if I'm here right now and I only have this moment of time to live, but I'm taking this moment and I'm worrying about the past, then I'm losing this moment. And if I go on to the next moment and I'm taking that moment and I'm worrying about the future, then I'm losing this moment. Much of our life is lost because while we're growing in our faith, we're just not growing properly in our faith. I'm not saying we don't have any faith, but I'm saying boldly we don't trust God like we should trust God. I think it's so appropriate for us to rekindle our faith, stirring us up in our faith again, helping us understand that we need God. Faith's a wonderful thing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, listen to this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, isn't that something? Wow. I mean, we can do all we can, the things that we think are right, we can motor along, be kind, consider, we can read, we can journal, we can do all the things that we think please God, but my Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You see, I want this morning, I want you to be encouraged in who you are. whom God created you to be. I am trusting that you will leave here today with a renewed interest in God, a renewed and refreshed faith in Him. I'm praying that we can just locate ourselves where we're at in our walk of faith, and then maybe we can just continue on and grow. We can move on and grow the next place that we need to be if we can locate where we're really at today. Be honest with who we are and honest with God. Now, I know that there are many things that we just don't appreciate as we journey through this life. I mean, there's some things that just hurt us. I mean, there's people who hurt us, and there's health issues. There's people who criticize us, and there are relationship problems, and maybe even the job is getting to us. Maybe it's financial stuff. It's during those moments than at any other time that we need to be livers of faith. We sang that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and there's a line in there that says, "How I've proved Him over and over." The only way we do that is by walking in faith each and every moment, even when it seems like our life is just falling apart. Faith is knowing that God is not falling apart. You see, some of us, though, get kind of silly about this. It doesn't require us to go about testing God. I mean, I was just standing in the middle of the road, officer, to see if that bus would hit me, I thought God might have it all under control, you know? We don't need to prove God, we just need to believe God. When I know that I can pray and I can leave God with those situations that are beyond my control, those circumstances that are getting to me, God will never give you more than you can handle. Yet I don't know about you, but I've had those moments where many days just kind of attack me at one day. And sometimes it just gets ridiculous how much I learn. Joan, my wife, she always says, I really would like it to be shallow just once. It's like this cartoon. Look at this. The successes, very limited. The learning experiences are great. Aren't they? We learn so much because God is always shaping our faith. 2 Corinthians, it's written, it says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. And I have found that we can learn a lot about what we are and other people really believe by listening to what comes out of the mouth during the learning experiences. See, but not just what comes out of mouth in good times. Come on, that's the easy part. But especially what comes out of the mouth during the learning times when we're being tested. Talk is not very expensive when you're not in the fire. But oh, if we get to that place where Jesus was, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, even though he was afflicted and oppressed like a sheep led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. I didn't understand that in my own life for a long time until I started opening my mouth in times of learning. And people would say to me, we don't like that. He's doubting God. And yet he's our preacher. And I had to realize that, wait a minute, God is walking with me during those moments that are darkest. He's carrying me. And he's walking me along. You see, somebody just asked me this past week, you know, how do I get out of the way of God? I said, the best way you get out of the way of God is by walking with God. See, too often we stand in front of him saying, help me! And he says, just walk along with me so I can grab your hand. Just walk along with me so that when it's in the darkest moments of life, I can pick you up and I can carry you. Just walk along with me and I will shelter you from the wind that is going to assail you. Just walk along with me and I will protect you. I will be your security. I will look after you. That's faith. That's understanding that God, even though you have health issues, even though you're walking through financial crisis, even though your relationship is becoming so hard and difficult, maybe it's even your marriage or with your spouse or with your kids, I don't know. But allow God to teach you something through this and walk with him, not against him. The staying business, how we talk, is so important when it comes to our faith growing. It's like this elderly gentleman, he had serious hearing problems for a number of years. He went to the doctor, and the doctor was able to have him fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed this gentleman, he could hear 100%. Some of you are saying, wow, wish I had that. The elderly gentleman, he went back to in a month to his doctor, and the doctor said, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be real pleased that you can hear again. And this gentleman, he replied, he says, oh, I haven't told my family yet. He said, I just sit around and I listen to their conversations. He said, I've changed my will 3 times. You see, I wonder how many times it gets down to the wire that we say something that undoes what God has been trying to do. See, my Bible says, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Or what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. And I think when we say things under times of pressure, those learning experiences, that very often there are things that come out that when things are good, we've managed to keep a lid on, but when the pressure is on, we're like a pressure cooker, and it's harder to say the right thing. And we don't like these things. And I don't like them. I had to face the fact a long time ago that I see the real me come out when I'm under pressure. And there was a lot of changing that needed to happen in here. Pamela Reeve said this. She wrote a book called Faith Is, and she said this. Faith is taking my eyes off my good self or my bad self or my wounded self and keeping them on himself. That's God, isn't it? That's where we're supposed to focus. That's all over the Bible. My Bible, it's all over. Faith, 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 faith. You dig out your Bible, dust it off. Most Bibles have a thing in the back called a concordance, a little index. And you look up the word faith in it. Look in the Bible, all those verses that talk about faith. And if you don't have a concordance, you know what I did? I got busy, and I got pages on the information table out in the foyer. And you can pick up one of these, and you can start looking up in the Word of God all the verses that talk about faith. And I remind you, I mean, it's easy to talk about faith. I mean, we can sing songs about faith. We can sing, walking by faith is so sweet to trust in Jesus, except when I'm really hurt. You know, we can sing that. We can quote scriptures. You know how we live by faith and not by sight. But you know what I've discovered? God's more interested in action than just a lot of empty talk. Proof's in doing. The proof's in the practice of doing it. Grab these sheets. Dig into the Word of God. The Apostle Paul knew about the need to practice our faith. And so he penned those words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 3 again. We ought always to thank God for you. See the thought, the heart? Thank God for you. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. Secret fact about godly faith, your faith can grow as your love grows. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Now I put these together. There they are. I put these together because you can't have one without the other. See, true faith is found in loving. Paul talked about where their faith was growing, but he also mentioned how their love was growing. I think at the same degree as my faith grows, my love has got to grow. Because love is like a carrier for faith. It's like the vehicle that carries my faith. If I have not love, I'm useless. I'm a sounding gong. I believe we need to know the deeper the love of God has for us individually. We need to know how much God loves us. I mean, I need to know, God loves me so much. He died for me unconditionally. He loves me even when I fail him. He doesn't fail me. He's always walking with me. That's God. Because how can I put my faith in somebody that I'm not sure loves me? I know God loves me. How can you trust somebody that you're not really sure loves you? Galatians 6 is a wonderful scripture. There's a passage in there. And if you're a faith person, this one's for you. Listen, you need to hear this today. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." The Amplified Bible puts it this way, "For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love." Through love. King James says, "Faith worketh by love." You know, I went through a lot of years in my life where I really was a great faith person. And I believed God. But I didn't have much of a love walk. There can be people who just talk about faith. They talk about faith. They talk about faith, and they develop their faith. They work on their faith, and yet they're not even nice. Matter of fact, they're rude. They're unmannerly. They're obnoxious. And 1 Corinthians says, "Even though I have enough faith to move mountains, if I don't have love, I'm useless." Wow. Love. I think the Christian community needs to step out and become the loving agent that God is. We've got to stop turning in on one another and stop stepping out and loving. I know it's hard. I walk the same walk you do. But there's a reward in loving. It's like St. Francis of Assisi said, "For it is in giving that we receive." Isn't that kind of an oxymoron, an irony? It's in giving that we receive. A lot of times in the church, if we're not careful, we go around and we hug one another. Say, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. So I love you and care about you. I love you in the Lord." We're good at that. "I love you in the Lord." But you know what? I want to know where those people are that love me with the love of the Lord when I need somebody. When I make a mistake, maybe I don't do everything just right, I need a little bit of mercy, and I need somebody not to judge me, I need them not to gossip about me and not talk about me. Then I want to know where those people are that love me with the love of the Lord. That's loving with faith. I believe one of my missions, perhaps one of the main ones, is to help all of us, myself included, realize that God's desire, this is for me, God's desire is not for us all to just come together and learn a bunch of things that we do and a bunch of emotions that we go through, but to be real people that have got faith, who really walk in the walk and not just talk the talk. That's what it's all about. His name is Bill. He has wild hair, wears a t-shirt with holes in it, jeans, and no shoes. This was literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. That's why they need care boxes. He is brilliant, kind of profound, very, very bright. He became a Christian while attending college. And across the street from the campus is a well-dressed, very conservative church. They want to develop a ministry to students. They're not sure how to go about it. One day, Bill decides he's going to go there and attend church. Walks in, no shoes on, jeans, his tattered t-shirt, his wild hair. Service has started, and so Bill starts walking down the aisle for a seat. Church is completely packed. He can't find a seat, and nobody's giving up one. And by now, people are really looking a bit uncomfortable. No one's saying anything. And Bill just kind of saunters his way down the middle aisle. And Bill gets closer and closer and closer to the pulpit. And then he realizes there are no seats. And so he just squats right down, right on the carpet, right in front. And by now, the people are just a little bit nervous. Just a little bit uptight. And tension is in the air is very thick. You could cut it with a knife. And about this time, the pastor realizes that from way at the back of the church, this deacon, he stands up and he's slowly making his way toward Bill. Deacon's in his 80s and silver gray hair, three-piece suit. I mean, he probably even had a watch fob. Very godly man, very elegant, very dignified, very courtly. And he walks with a cane and he starts walking toward this boy. And everyone's saying to themselves that you can't blame him for what he's going to do. I mean, how can you expect a man of his age and his background to understand some college kid sitting on the floor with no shoes? It takes a long time for this man to reach this boy. And the church is utterly silent except for the clicking of the man's cane. All eyes are focused on him. You can't even hear anyone breathing. The minister can't even preach the sermon until the deacon does what he has to do. And they all watch. They see this elderly man drop his cane on the floor. And with great difficulty, he lowers himself and sits down next to Bill and worships with him so he won't be alone. How many of us are willing to lower ourselves because of our faith? You see, these two secret facts of godly faith aren't really secrets at all. It's just that we haven't been using them. Let's pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you just need to spend some time with God and just say, God, I've been really good at the faith part, but I haven't been good at the loving part. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're great at loving, but you just find it hard to trust God. This morning can be a new day for you. See, it's easy when we're not in the fire to have faith. But it's very difficult in our heart of hearts to love when we're in the fire, to demonstrate godly faith when we don't feel very good about who we are. Maybe you need to say this morning, you need to say, God, I believe you love me. Therefore, I can put my trust in you. Maybe you need to say, I accept that love, God, and I accept myself right now where I'm at. I'm not where I need to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. Maybe you need to say, God, you're changing me every day, and I thank you for changing me every day. You accept me the way I am, and I can accept myself the way I am and where I am. Where I'm at. Maybe you need to thank God today for the learning experiences that you've had because it's allowed you to deepen in your faith and maybe even deepen your love more for those who are hurting or those who are struggling or those who really need to just be encouraged. Maybe today the Lord is bringing to your mind already just a few names, people whom you know you can really love today. Maybe you need to say, God, I just don't want to be phony anymore. I talk about walking by faith, but I just don't believe. I just don't trust. And today, God, I trust you with my finances, with my relationships, with my family, with my church life, With everything about me, God, I trust you completely. I give to you, and I believe by faith. I believe by faith that you will lift me up in those dark times, that you will shelter me when I need shelter. Maybe you need to say, God, I haven't been walking with you. I've been walking in front of you, trying to get your attention. Maybe you need to say, God, I've been walking behind you. I've been running. I've been trying to catch up, but I'm allowing myself to lag behind. And maybe you need to just walk with him now. You say, God, I'm going to walk with you. Whatever you're doing this morning, just talk to him. And allow him to permeate your very being. Allow him to change your heart. Allow him to set you free so that you can live by faith and not by sight, so that you can grow not just in your faith, but in your love for other people. Father, as a church, there's so much responsibility that's placed on us. And Lord, we recognize that we just don't even know somehow that we can manage this or do this, what vision you've called us to, Lord. And we know, Lord, that the kingdom is so huge and so large, your kingdom, God. And we pray for those other churches. We pray your blessing upon those churches that are preaching your word this morning. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon us. But we also pray, God, that we would be a people of faith, not a people of sight. Lord, create within us, stir within us that desire to be more like you, to be shaped by you. Lord, just permeate our heart. Permeate our heart, God, as your people. And remove the walls that we've put up, the pretending who we are, so that we can be who you create us to be. That's our prayer, God. Give ourselves to you this morning. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you. I ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're willing to say, God, today I'm going to walk with that growing in my faith as I love other people. Just stand where you are. Just stand up. Saying, Lord, I'm making this commitment today. I'm going to grow in my faith by loving others. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to stand for you. Just stand where you are. Stand where you are, God. We're going to grow in our faith by loving. That's what we're going to do. Father, I don't know who has stood and don't need to know. You know. Lord, I thank you that we have shown a commitment as a church that we trust you. And Lord, while we sometimes don't appreciate what we have to walk through, we do appreciate that you walk with us through it. God, we don't take that for granted. We believe you, Father. We trust you. I'll ask you all to stand, please. And all God's people said, Amen. Worship team, please.
If you'd like to follow along in a hymn book, this is hymn number 84. The words are going to be coming up here.